What a great time of worship together today, celebrating communion. Wonderful. In the waiting. I remember Christmas mornings back when our kids were still little, and how the anticipation of what was in those gifts and trying to figure out what was in those gifts. When we had our first child, Matt, we were still on the farm then. We were farming, and so we couldn't like do the, you know, wake up at 6 o'clock kind of thing, because we're already out milking cows, right? And so the tradition we developed was that after we would milk cows and after we would, you know, eat breakfast, then we would open gifts on Christmas morning. It was wonderful. And then our second child came along. And our second child, when she became old enough to understand about gifts, she just couldn't wait. And she would beg over and over, and she'd look up at me with her little brown eyes and say, "Daddy, can I please just open one gift on Christmas Eve?" And due to her excellent negotiating skills, we changed our tradition. We would open up one gift on Christmas Eve because they just couldn't wait. You know, waiting is hard, isn't it? It is, you know, and you know, there's lots of different kinds of waiting. There's what I call just this annoying waiting. That kind of waiting, I just have no time for. You know what I mean by annoying waiting? Just the stuff that happens in life, you know, or in traffic, or, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was heading down to Baltimore Airport to pick up our daughter Heidi and her family. And so I go down the back way because of where I live. And so I just get on 472 right below Quarryville. And I look in front of me, and it was like 15 vehicles behind this really, really slow truck I could see way down over the hill. I was like, oh my goodness. And I looked and I was like, okay, we have 9 miles on this road and there's two places to pass on those 9 miles. Like, I'm not gonna get around that truck. And so, you know, I'm just being very patient as I'm going along. And I began to look behind me and there's more vehicles accumulating. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, just pull off. Don't you have any awareness? Nobody else ever does stuff like that, right? No, okay, good. Anyway, he finally pulled off at mile 6. Waiting, annoying waiting. You know, the kind of waiting that you go to a doctor's office and they have a waiting room, aptly named many times, right? You know, or the kind of waiting, you know, when you have to wait in a long line for food or something, and if just a little bit of reorganization, they could have made it just work fine. That's really annoying. Anybody else there with me today? You know, so there's annoying kind of waiting. And then there's waiting that is like, you know how long it's going to be until something happens. Just like Christmas. It's what, 18 days away. We know how long that's going to be. Maybe you're waiting to turn 16 years old or something, or for your 21st birthday or your 71st birthday, whatever you're looking forward to. You know, well, you know how long it will be. You know, when there's things planned, or maybe you have a vacation planned you're looking forward to. So that kind of waiting has its anticipation, but it's not really that hard. But then there's the really hard waiting. The waiting where you don't know how long you're going to have to wait about something really important. And maybe you don't even know if it's actually ever going to happen. You might be waiting for a healing in your body. Or, you know, maybe you have this desire to get married and you just haven't met the right person and you're still waiting. You know, there's no expiration date to the thing we may be waiting for. It could be like maybe you had childhood trauma and you're like, will I ever recover from this? Maybe there are prayers that aren't answered. Maybe you have a loved one that you've been praying and praying that they would come to know Christ. That kind of waiting is really difficult. And when we really think about it, our life has a lot of waiting because there's a lot of uncertainties. It's when hope can begin to fade and anxiousness can creep in. It's when we can lose our peace. Uncertainty, disillusionment can set in. But the good news is we can have peace in the waiting. And that's what we're talking about today. And this Advent season, one of the reasons I love taking some time before Christmas to reconnect with what it was like to be waiting for the coming Messiah, and also then to slow down enough to realize, you know, that waiting was a long, long season, and yet we can learn from that waiting. And we can also look forward to the coming, the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to bring us peace. So here's what I'd call my big idea today, and that is that you can have peace in the waiting when you let the Prince of Peace rule your life. The Prince of Peace. When he rules our life, we can have peace in the waiting, regardless of what is happening around us. So to get started this morning, I'd like us to turn the clock back to 700 years before Jesus' birth. And we're going to look at the book of Isaiah. Now, Pastor Dustin read from this scripture last week as well. It's the prophecy of Jesus coming. And if you didn't hear Pastor Dustin's message last week, I highly recommend that you find a way to watch it or listen to it. A very good message on hope in the waiting and how light can break through into the darkness. Excellent, excellent message. Okay, verse 6, Isaiah 9, prophecy, 700 years before the time of Christ. For a child is born to us, a son is given, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. One of the names declared in this prophecy was Prince of Peace. What do princes do? Think about it. What do princes do? Princes were born to rule and reign, right? They were born to govern. He even refers to the government shall be upon his shoulders. Princes reign is what they do. I'd like us to look at the very next verse. We might get a little bit more light on this. Verse 7. His government, referring to this child, the Messiah, his government and its peace will never end. So he reinforces this idea of government and peace, rule. His rule, he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. So this promised peace, the Prince of Peace, his rule and reign is where his peace will be found, wherever he is ruling and reigning. You know, we talk a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is wherever the king reigns. The Prince of Peace will rule wherever we open up the door for him to rule and reign in our hearts. When we receive him and make him our Lord. You see, there is a future part to this prophecy. It talks about he's going to rule on the throne of David for all eternity. But there's also a prophesied peace that's for today, the here and now, and it will radically change our lives. This peace is much more powerful than just the absence of conflict. This peace is not just like a, oh, let's not rock the boat kind of peace. This is a powerful peace, so powerful it takes a prince to lead this peace, the Prince of Peace. It will stand up under every circumstance. It will see you through any storm. It is knowing that God is with us in the waiting. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. His government and peace, it says, will never end. So we're going to examine, what is this peace that we're talking about today? What was declared here? As we spoke about this. Hang on a second. It seems like I just jumped over something that wouldn't be what I wanted to jump over. Here we go. And that is, I want us to take a look at the peace that the angels declared when Jesus was born, the night that Jesus was born. In Luke 2, verse 9, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" What a birth announcement. I mean, one angel declaring and then multitudes filling the sky before the shepherds and declaring peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest. This was part of his birth announcement, peace on earth. Now, we don't have to look around very far today to see that this peace on earth is not completely fulfilled yet. We don't have to look far at all to see that. You know, there's conflicts here, there's conflicts there in the nations of the earth. There's conflicts in some of our families, there's conflicts in businesses, there's conflicts in neighborhoods. Peace on earth is not fully manifest yet, but the peace on earth that was declared here is available for today through the Prince of Peace when we make him the ruler, the one that reigns in our life. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. This Prince of Peace prophesied to come and rule and reign. You see, God knows what we need to live this life out and to live it in peace. He knows the circumstances you're in right now. So we're going to take a moment, a few more moments, to unpack, like, what is this peace that was prophesied? What's the peace that the angels were declaring? And first of all, I would call it peace with God. Peace with God. If you've placed your faith in Christ Jesus, trusted that sacrifice, you've been declared righteous by God. You've been declared righteous. You've been adopted into his family. This promise of peace is for you. This is a profound reconciliation between God and man, between a holy God and a sinful people. And this is only made possible through Jesus Christ, peace with God. It's the greatest peace that you'll ever experience here in this life. Peace with God. Romans 5:1 says it like this: therefore, since we have been made right with God, in God's sight, by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? Peace with God. That peace is not based on something that you can just earn, that you can be good enough for. That peace is only because of the work of Jesus on the cross that we so celebrated this morning, and we remembered this morning. Peace with God. I'll never forget, 59 years ago, I was a 14-year-old young boy, and I was in Nickel Mines Mennonite Church at a fall revival meeting, and I stood up and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Now, I'd been under conviction, as we would call it, probably for at least a year before that. Almost like the tradition in our church was, like, when you're 13, you're supposed to receive the Lord in the fall of when you're 13. I didn't. I just wanted to hold out. I didn't want to do that like everybody else, right? And so here I was, a whole year I'd been just struggling with this. But when I finally surrendered my life to the Lord, peace with God. It's indescribable. Yeah. If you're sitting here today and you're like, yeah, I don't have peace with God, I long to just help you take that step today. So keep listening. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is tugging on you. Because peace with God is the greatest peace. That's what the angels were declaring when they declared peace on earth, this reconciliation between God and man. It's a free gift. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he offers eternal peace, restoration with him. Colossians 1:19 says it like this: for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Peace with God. Most important, life-changing peace we'll ever experience. Secures our eternity. Peace with God. Secondly, peace is a gift. Peace is a gift. Peace is not something we have to strive for or manufacture. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he was just about to go to trial, to be arrested and go to trial. That's when he gathered his disciples together, as Colin was talking about. And he shared the communion meal with them, and then he washed their feet, and he began to just share his heart with them. And he talked for hours, and much of it is written down in the Bible. And in the middle of that, Jesus declared these words in John 14. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the gift I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. What an amazing promise. Too often, we think that, you know, when we get the circumstances lined up right, then we'll have peace. Or we think when this season of life passes, then I'll have peace. You know, like once the kids are no longer so little, then we'll have more peace. Or once they're out of the house, we'll have peace. Peace does not come from outside circumstances. It comes from this gift of peace that Jesus is giving us. Peace of heart, peace of mind. He's saying it's yours. It's yours. Don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. As I was preparing this message this week, one of the things I was praying throughout was like, Lord, I just want you as that Holy Spirit to reveal your peace to us in a, you know, in a fresh new way. You know, Christmas messages, you know, there's only so many subjects around Christmas, right? And so, you know, some of you have been Christians a lot of years, you've heard a lot of Christmas messages, right? Some of you have been pastors a lot of years, you've done a lot of Christmas messages. And it's like, I don't want this just, you know, my words or another nice little Christmas message. I said, Holy Spirit, do you have something fresh for me? Not just for you guys, but for me. Hopefully it spills over, but for me. And so I already turned my notes in and everything, and I was all done preparing. And sometimes I like to go back over like all the notes I accumulated over the weeks when I was studying. And I do like to use my computer to put notes on, but my best notes always seem to come on yellow, legal pad. And so I just went back and looked over them, and I was going, we got that. And then I saw this little phrase on the column on the left side, just four words. And those four words were, peace is a person. Peace is a person. And I thought, well, that's really good. That's really good. And then, but I had nothing connected to it. I was like, did I see that in a scripture? Did I see that in, you know, a concordance or a book somewhere? I don't know. It was just this little phrase. But the more I thought about it, peace is a person. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But before I could say that to you, I had to find it in the scripture. Because if it's not in the scripture, it's not going to help you. And so I looked up the scripture, Ephesians 2:14, and here's what it says. For he himself, this is Paul talking about Jesus, he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Talking again about the work Jesus did on the cross. He is our peace. Peace as a person. And then I opened up my devotional this morning, written by Pastor Matt. And in the very open cover about peace for today, where it's introducing peace for this week, he has Micah 2:5 or 5:2 or something like that. And guess what's in there? He is our peace. Prophesied. So it's confirmed Old Testament, New Testament. So now I can preach it, right? Peace is a person. But think about that. It's not only a gift, like it's a gift, but it's actually Jesus, the presence of Jesus in our life. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, the ruler of peace is in you. In every circumstance of life that you are in right now, the things that kept you awake last night, the things that you've been struggling with, maybe for years, the Prince of Peace is living in you. And he will meet you right where you are. Not to condemn you and saying, oh, you shouldn't be upset or worried. No, to actually fight for you, to be the Prince of Peace, to bring that peace that Jesus said, here, it's a gift. I leave it with you. Third thing I see in this peace that the angels declared is that peace is a guard and a guide. Peace is a guard and a guide. You know, so many things try to rob us from this peace. It's like it's one thing to know it intellectually, that he's our peace. But there's always things trying to rob it. Unexpected bad news. Could be just the stress of the season you're in, or the work stress, or it could be financial stress. Maybe it's relational tension. It's nothing like relational tension to rob your peace, especially if it's in your family or where you work or with people you love. Social media just has a way of producing anxiety if we allow it to. Many things try to rob us of our peace. But I want us to look at the book of Philippians, because Paul, as he was writing, says some very practical, very simple words addressing us how to put this into practice to hold on to our peace. Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, as I was reading that, I heard someone thinking. That's what it seemed like. I heard someone thinking, that sounds too easy, Don. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And I don't know what you're dealing with. And it may be very, very, very hard. You may have experienced crushing loss recently. Whatever it may be. But you know, the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of you. And the scripture is telling us how we can position ourselves. It actually says through prayer and thanksgiving, Paul says, we can actually position ourselves to walk in that peace no matter what we're going through. It's a powerful promise. And he says that this exceeds anything you can understand. You won't understand it. It won't make sense. People around you will say, how can you be in such peace with everything you're going through? It's one of the greatest witnessing examples that there are. When you can hold on to peace, when the peace giver, the Prince of Peace, is showing up through your life. It's wonderful. We can experience God's peace. It will guard our hearts and minds. That word guard jumped out to me. You know, what do guards do? Guards protect something that's valuable. And the Greek word used as guard there, interpreted as guard, is actually a garrison. It's like a watchman on a wall, saying peace will rise up like watchman on a wall to guard your heart and mind, because your heart and mind need to be protected. I mean, it's where we live out of. It's what, you know, it's our spirit. We want to guard and protect it. Our minds, we want to guard and protect it. It says peace will actually do that. It is a gift. You see, inner peace is fragile. We need protection. And God has provided that for us. Life happens. Fear and worry are always right there, ready to jump up. But this peace will guard and defeat fear and worry. It will protect your heart and mind no matter what the circumstances. How we need this today. This season that we're living through, many people are talking about this being it's a season of anxiousness. There are books being written about the anxious generation. There's many challenges that our young people, those of you that are young people here, whatever age you define as young, are being bombarded with things that are trying to steal our peace. We are living in this time. God knew we would be living in this time. The Prince of Peace has not lost his power. In fact, amen. In fact, I believe that we are called for such a time as this, to stand up and show the peace of God to the world. Help people. Be peacemakers and also peace spreaders. Be people that are contagiously peaceful. May your home be a place of peace. I'm not talking about perfect. I'm not talking about having every piece of dust cleaned up in your home. I'm talking about peace will sink into your walls if you're living in peace and you invite the Holy Spirit to do that. People will walk in your home and say, I feel so much peace here. People will work around you and say, you have so much peace. You see, we are called to that. And we live in an anxious world. And if I could just say a word to those of you that are in what Pastor Matt calls the third season of life. I don't like to do the math on that one. But I guess I fit that. But especially those of you in that season of life, maybe you're grandparents or great-grandparents, or you have people that you know, in your life, and maybe you've followed the Lord for many years. We should be the people that are spreading peace more than anyone. The fruit of a long-term relationship with the Lord should be a settled peace in our hearts, no matter what. And yet I see the opposite happening sometimes. People my age are becoming more anxious, and they're spreading that anxiousness. And I just felt like that's a word from the Lord to you. Take it if it means something, because God is calling us to be people of peace. Yes, there are things that we are not happy about in our world, of course. There always has been, and there always will be. The Prince of Peace lives in us. Peace will guard us. Peace will protect us. Peace will also be a guard to us, a guide to us, I should say. My notes are all mixed up here, so I'll just kind of go with whatever I have here, okay? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Yeah, peace will be a guide to us too, right? Colossians 3:15. There we go. We landed us. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Remember, the Prince of Peace is a ruler. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. So peace will be our guide. Listen to this. When the peace that comes from Christ rules in our life, other things won't. When the peace of Christ rules in our heart, other things won't. In this scripture, Colossians 3, the word rule actually means to act as an umpire. To act as an umpire. What do umpires do? They declare something foul or fair, safe or out, right or wrong. You see, when this peace that lives in us, we pay attention to that and allow the Prince of Peace to begin to govern our lives, we're going to know when we start going off the path. When we're starting to get in anxiety and worry about something that is getting us off that path, we'll begin to know, because God's peace will bring us back on. It'll say, no, wait, this is not the way to go. Here's the path of peace. So it'll protect us, it'll guard us, and it will guide us. It will show us the way to come. It'll even help us find direction in life, because when we do get off the path, God's peace will act as an umpire. It's like, nope, not there. Over here, that's a fair ball right there. That's the path of peace. Oh, yes, God is good, isn't he? Amen. This gift of peace is powerful. It will guard your heart and mind. I have one more point I want to make today, and that is number four, peace is for the future. Peace for the future. It's part of what God declared when the angels declared peace on earth. Back in Isaiah 9, where we looked at, where it talked about this is going to go on for all eternity. You see, our peace is settled for the future, not just for this life. Thank God for that. But at some point, this life is going to vanish and go away, and our Jesus is going to return again. And earth and heaven will all be restored to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have that to look forward to. There is peace for the future. We do not have to be in fear of what is to come. There will be lasting peace on the earth. And I don't know what that's all going to look like. There's these glimpses in scripture that I love to read. And one of those is from Micah 4. Excuse me. In Micah 4, the Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and their fig trees, and there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of Heaven's army has made this promise. You see, Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is returning. And so this season of Advent, I just want to encourage us to kind of put ourselves Maybe in the same way that remnant that always was believing that Jesus was going to come and believing for the Messiah, in many ways, we're in that same period. We don't know how long it's going to be. You know, I believe the first church, as I read the scripture, I believe they thought that Jesus was returning in their lifetime. And I know I grew up in the early 70s, and we thought that Jesus was definitely going to return before the year 2000. I mean, that was for sure before then. And so it's great to have these expectations. God has called us to live our lives as if he's not coming back for many, many years. We're not going to go to the mountain and sit and wait. But let's not turn off our expectors, because someday it's all going to be restored back the way Jesus and God had intended it originally. So we can live with expectation, and we can have great peace in that, because the Prince of Peace is returning again. Our Savior, our Emmanuel, let's be that remnant that is waiting and longing and looking. So folks, I leave you today with the words of Jesus: let not your heart be troubled. You see, we can have peace in the waiting, no matter what season you're in right now, when we allow the Prince of Peace, our Emmanuel, to rule in our hearts and minds. He wants to meet us right there today. Could we take some time to pray right now? Join me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for the message in your word, Lord God, about peace, how you called forth the Prince of Peace to come into our lives and into our world. Lord, I pray right now for every person that's here. Lord, you know every circumstance, you know every heartbreak, you know every struggle with anxiety. You know every person right now, God. You know everyone in this room intimately. Lord, and anyone that's ever going to watch this, listen to this message, God, anyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, because your word brings life, and your word brings hope. Your word brings peace. Lord, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself as the Prince of Peace. You would reveal yourself as that gift of peace. Jesus, the Messiah, came to live on the inside of us. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow your peace to flood our hearts and minds. Lord, you would allow your peace today, right here in this place. Lord, just fill our hearts. You would drive out anxiety and fear. Lord, give us this deep confidence that doesn't make any sense, a peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we recognize we need your guarding. We need your guiding, Lord, as we walk this out in our lives. Lord, I thank you again for that promise then that you said that you would guard, peace would be a guard to us. Lord, help us to respond quickly when we see ourselves getting off the path, or when we see ourselves getting caught up in the stuff around us, or when we see ourselves getting caught up in anxiety, worry. God, I pray that you would help us to be your carriers of peace. Lord, we do pray. Lord, we pray over this generation. Lord, we pray especially for young people. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you. And God, that they would find you and find you, the Prince of Peace, in the middle of their lives, Lord. And I thank you for the many young people who are turning to you and are walking with you. And God, we just pray that there would be a continued outpouring. And Lord, for every age, Lord, may we be those people that walk and carry out your peace in our lives. Lord, I pray for those that are in the third season of life. God, anoint us, Lord, to be those that bring hope and peace to those around us, Lord. God, use us this season of life. Let's thank you again, Lord, for you being the Emmanuel living in us. We praise you in Jesus' name. I also want to ask this morning if there's anyone here that does not have peace with God, that starting point. Maybe at one time you had given your life to the Lord, but maybe you have walked away, and if you're being really honest with yourself, you're saying, no, I don't have peace with God. There's a lot of turmoil even when I think about my relationship with God. And maybe for some of you, this is even brand new to even think about this. The invitation is there for you to receive Christ into your life, for him to make you brand new creature, a brand new person, to set you on a different path. And he can meet you there today to start that journey. And I would love to help you do that. And how I'm going to do it today, I'm going to lead in a prayer. And that prayer is acknowledging who Jesus is and then inviting him into your life right now today. And so I'm going to invite you to pray following after me. And if you could pray out loud, there's power in your words. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone here today if you would join me so no one is praying alone. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth. He shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so I could be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for making me brand new. Thank you that I now have peace with God through your precious blood. Amen. 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 You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer today to receive Christ, or you prayed that prayer to come back to him, we want to celebrate with you, walk with you, and help you do that. Our ushers are in the aisles. We have a Bible for you, in fact. So if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ or to come back to him, could you raise your hand, just boldly, unashamed, put your hand right up and saying, yes, that's me. I want one of those Bibles because I am reaching out to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I've received him. I believe I saw a couple of Bibles grow out. Could we just thank God? We love you and support you. We want to walk with you. No one should ever walk alone. That's why we're here as a church. We're made up of a church of many people on many different journeys. And there are people every week that are giving their life to Christ. So there are many more people like you at the beginning stages. You're not alone. So what I invite you to do after the service, if you take that Bible and go back to the room we call Connections, it's to my right, at the very back of the auditorium, stop by there. Some folks would love to talk with you, pray with you, encourage you, cheer you on, help answer any questions you might have, because we want to make sure that you don't walk alone. And then once you give your life to Christ, or maybe you've recently given your life to Christ, the next step would be water baptism. Water baptism is when you declare publicly that Jesus Christ is your Lord and you're going to follow him. We have a class that you attend and learn about baptism and how to grow in the Lord. You'll find information on the screen for how you can register for that, or you could stop by Connections as well and they would be glad to help you. If you are new to Worship Center, I invite you to stop at Connections as well. We'd love to say hello to you and encourage you, welcome you, help you take your next step here at Worship Center. If you're between age 18 and 30, we have a room to my left here in the back of the auditorium with our young adults. Great place to hang out, get to know some young people, your age, stage of life, and we just want to welcome you here as well. I'm going to dismiss here in a moment. We're going to have a prayer team down front. And after we dismiss, if you have something that's heavy on your heart, we love to pray for people. In fact, we believe God answers prayer. And so I invite you, push against the crowd, come up here, find a way to get prayed for today before you leave. So would you stand at this time? I'm going to close with a benediction today from the scripture. And so I ask if you could just hold still right now and just let these words be empowered by the Holy Spirit over us today. And it is, now may the God of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Amen. 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 God bless you as you go. We'll see you next week.